Good afternoon. I'm Wei Wang, assistant professor at the Chinese University of Hong Kong. So this is joint work with my collaborator at Georgia Tech and UC Santa Barbara. And actually, part of the work was done when I was visiting UC Santa Barbara, and at the time when I was still a PhD student at Georgia Tech. So this is the outline of today's talk. So let me first start with the background of this work. So a few papers today have already discussed about service attacks, but let me talk it again. So basically, DOS attacks is a class of attacks targeted availability of an application. And the attackers can keep the users from using a certain computing resources. And depending on how the attacks can be launched, it can be generally classified into two different categories. The first category exploit some flaw in the program. For example, an attacker may send some requests to cause the application to crash. On the other hand, the second category is resource exhaustion and also the focus of our work. So the attacker can request some significant amount of resource, such as CPU, memory, and network. And one class of DOS attacks is called distributed DOS attacks or DDoS attacks. So in order to successfully cause a DOS, the attacker has to send a request at a rate such that it's greater than the bottleneck processing capacity of the targeting system. And as a result, normally DOS attacks are launched by flooding the targeted system with an extensive amount of requests in a short period of time. And a DDoS attack is just a way to flood the targeted system by sending the attack packets from more than one source. For example, an attacker may command thousands of machines in a botnet to send a request at the same time. And as a result, the attacker gains higher bandwidth and also makes the attack more difficult to be detected and prevented. And normally, some amplification techniques, such as DNS reflection, can be used with DDoS to further boost the attack traffic, the bandwidth of the attack traffic. So as we have learned, the attacker has to send a request at a very high rate. And what if the attacker does not have control over thousands of machines? What are the other options the attacker may have? So alternatively, the attackers can launch low-volume sophisticated DOS attacks, which is a kind of attack where the attacker only needs to send quite a few, but much more intense requests, which are computationally expensive to process, to degrade the performance of the system. For example, the attacker may demand the server to compute a hash value for over a million of times. And let's look at a real-world example of such sophisticated DOS attacks. So this CVE is found in a popular application, WordPress. It has a function, hash password, to compute the hash value of the password. And as we can see from the code on the left side, the password variable is directly passed to the function crypt, which is a built-in PHP function that is used to compute a hash using algorithms such as DES. And the execution time of such function depends on the size of the input. And as we will demonstrate next, that is, attacker can successfully cause a server to compute the hash over 30 seconds. And WordPress fixed this vulnerability by just adding three lines to check the size of the input. So such kind of attacks can be easily detected using network-based detection methods. However, there are more subtle attacks where the attack only changes a few bytes in the input and can still cause a DOS, which we will not cover in today's talk. So as we have learned, for the conventional DDoS attacks, the attacker can control a troop of bomber to drop the chemical weapons. On the other hand, in sophisticated DOS attacks, the attacker only needs to send one intense attack to cause a DOS. So the goal of our research is to protect the backend of web applications from the low-volume sophisticated CPU exhaustion DOS attacks. We also try to limit the impact that may be caused by our system. And we designed and developed a system called Rampart to achieve our goals. And this is our threat model when we were designing the system. So first, we assume the backend of some web application is vulnerable to some either known or unknown CPU exhaustion DOS attacks. And the attacker tries to occupy all available CPU resources of the server. the attacker can send the traffic through normal HTTP requests at a very low rate, so it would be very difficult to be detected using network defense mechanisms. Furthermore, the attacker requests cannot be easily distinguished from the legitimate ones through statistic features such as the size or some particular field in the input. And finally, the attacker does not need to flood the system because several requests are sufficient to cause a DOS, which we will demonstrate later. So to solve this problem, we first use context-aware function-level program profiling to precisely model the CPU usage of a web application. Then we also use statistical methods to detect suspicious attack requests. We designed a probabilistic request termination algorithm to terminate or abort the execution of an instance serving the suspicious request. We further designed an exploratory algorithm to control the lifetime of the filters we deploy to block a follow-up request. Finally, we also applied a few techniques to optimize the performance of our system. So the first task is to precisely model the CPU utilization of a web application. In this example, the library implements a function bar that is called by two different scripts under different contexts. And to precisely model the CPU usage of this function, we need to differentiate it in different calling context. To do that, we maintain a shadow call stack for each of the instances of the application. And before start serving an application, we will first compute a status representing the initial status of the application. We also maintain a database that records the measurements about the CPU time for each of the function call. So first, we compute a PID value, which stands for the ID or the status of the parent frame that we will use later. And the initial PID is calculated by computing the hash value of the current script name. And then for the left example, the application starts serving the request, and the first function frame is pushed to the call stack, where we can calculate a new ID or status of the current application using the application ID of the previous function frame and also the name of the current function. In addition, we also maintain timestamp to record the time when the function frame was first called. Next, we will push additional frames when new functions are called. And finally, the first function returns, which is MD5 in this case. And we know this function took about 1 millisecond to execute. And then we write this data to the records showing on the right side. And after another 1,000 calls, finally, we finish the last call of MD5. And we write the data to the database and pop this function frame. And then the application returns to the function bar. And we know that execution time was about 1,000 milliseconds, so it was written to the database similarly. And for the rest of the functions, this is, we also do the similar thing. And this is how we precisely model the CPU execution of each function. And one thing to note is that the mirror time we store here is the CPU time instead of the real world or the work clock time. Next, we need to detect the CPU exhaustion DOS attacks. And the signal we utilize is the server's CPU load. And in particular, we set a threshold that we can use to determine if the server is under attack or maybe the server is overloaded. So in other words, sometimes an overloaded server is almost as the same as one that is under such an attack. Next, we need to detect the request that caused the DOS so that we can take actions to stop the attack. One very naive approach is to set something like a timer for each of the function or for application instance. However, this method does not work in practice because some requests may take a very long time to complete, but for a lot of other requests, they can usually finish within a few hundred milliseconds. Alternatively, one can try to find the ones that consume the most CPU resource. However, this is also not a good design because in some cases, some user may also send a very expensive request at the time when the server is under attack. And if the user request spends a little bit more CPU resource than that of the attackers, we may mistakenly label the user's request as malicious. So instead, we try to find the ones of which the CPU execution time is statically significantly higher than the normal values. In particular, we utilize the Chebyshev's inequality equation as shown on the right side. The inequality guarantees that for a lot of distributions, the probability that a random variable x, that is k standard deviation away from the mean, should be less than 1 over k squared. And based on this equation, we developed the following condition to label suspicious requests. In particular, for the CPU time of a given function call, tc, if the time is greater than the mean plus k standard deviation, then we will label this request as suspicious. We also set some other parameters to control the process. So let's look at an example of how our system can detect such CPU exhaustion DOS requests. Suppose we already have a measurements of the past records for a few function frames as shown on the left side. And we also assume the server is currently serving three different requests. So when the request starts, it will finally return. And for the case of MD5, they return the first. And in this case, the measured CPU time is still 1 millisecond. We look up the same function in the table and find that the time is not different much from the past records. So we write the measurement to the database. And then later, the right side instance also returned. And for this function, the execution time is also normal. So we also write the records back to the database. And after this function, this instance has finished, at some time, the left instance returns to bar, which spend about 1,000 milliseconds, which is also normal. So we write the new record to the database. And finally, after a really very long time, 30 seconds, the middle instance returns to the bar function. And we know now this is really suspicious, because compared to the past records where the normal execution time is around 1,000 milliseconds, this one took 30 seconds, which is abnormal. However, our system can detect such incidents at a much earlier stage because we know exactly the condition we use to label one request as suspicious. For example, we can set a timeout for about 5 seconds, and then we can check if the function has returned. If not, we can directly label this one as suspicious. One more thing to note is that our system may not determine such incidents as attack if the current server load is not really high. So we have already found a way to detect the suspicious requests causing the DOS. Should we just kill such requests? It's probably not a good idea, because sometimes we may have some false positives. And for those false positive cases, the execution time may only deviate not much from the norm. So if we just kill all of these suspicious requests, we will cause a very negative impact on the user request. Instead, we just try to degrade the priority of the instance serving such suspicious requests by probabilistically terminating the suspicious request. In particular, a suspicious request will be temporarily suspended or aborted based on the current server load and the times it has been suspended. And the observation is that for the false positive requests, they may just need a little bit more time to finish compared to the real true positive attack requests, which would take almost forever to finish. So we will give the false positive requests some opportunities to let it finish, but with a lower priority. So is the current design good enough? The answer is no, because attackers can still consume some amount of CPU time until the system detects such an attack attempt. So it suggests that we have to deploy some filters to block follow-up attack requests. In particular, we use the request URI, the request parameters, and also the network address to uniquely identify a remote attacker. So are we good to go? Can we just deploy a filter and forget about this attack? The answer is still no, because what if the filter is a false positive filter, which means that we mistakenly label a user request as an attack request? And if we deploy this filter as a persistent filter, then the user can be blocked forever unless the user switches to a different network address. One more thing to note is that we only block the particular request UI. The user can still use other portions of the application because it will be sent through different UI. Then it suggests a better approach is to use a temporary filter. However, if the filter is too short, then the attacker may still try to wait and try again later. To solve this problem, we designed the exploratory algorithm, which can adaptively control the lifetime of a filter. And here's how it works. So basically, we will set a primary lifespan for each of the filter, and during this primary lifespan, we'll block all the matched requests, regardless whether it's a false positive filter or not. After the expiration of the primary lifespan, we may assume that we made a mistake. For example, it may be a false positive filter. So we'll try to explore the result if this filter was deactivated to see if it was really a false positive. In particular, we will let some of the matched requests to be processed, and we will observe if those requests cause a DOS again. And if no such attacks are observed during the secondary lifespan, then we know probably it was really a false positive filter, or the attacker may have stopped the attacks. Then we can safely remove this filter. On the other hand, where some attacks are detected again, we know the attacker is still trying, so we will reset the filter with a longer primary lifespan to penalize the attacker. As we have shown in the paper, with this algorithm, we can control the upper bound of the rate that one attacker can cause a CPU exhaustion DOS. We also applied several techniques to optimize the performance of our system. First, we disabled profiling for some built-in functions to avoid unnecessary system costs, which we used to calculate the CPU time. And we also use control the program profiling granularity using the parameter max perfect depth. We implement a separate daemon to process the measurements in batch. And finally, we use sampling to limit the profiling rate. The system is implemented as an extension to the PHP Zend engine. And we also use Python to implement a separate processing daemon. You may ask why we implement for PHP. It's still the most popular programming language for the server side. However, the system can be easily extended to some other programming language because its design does not depend on any language-specific feature. Next, we show the experiments we use to evaluate the performance and the effectiveness of a system. In particular, we configure the vulnerable versions of two most popular PHP applications on an Intel server with quad-core CPU. We set up a network proxy to intercept all the communication between the client and the server, and we dump the traces that will be replayed later with the traffic generator. We also implement several real-world CVE to simulate attacks. And next, we measure the baseline server performance by controlling the number of user instances. In particular, we measure the average request processing time as well as the CPU utilization for both applications, and the results are shown here. We observe when we were sending about 32 user instances, the server performance is modest. Next, we measure the overhead that is caused by our system. In particular, we are interested in how many function frames are profiled in our system. So we change the number of the value of max perfect depth, and the results are shown here. So basically, when the value is set to 5, we observe the system has a performance that is comparable to the baseline performance. In particular, the overhead is pretty low. For example, it requires only 3% additional CPU for Drupal and 2.8 millisecond additional request processing time, which is really low compared to the average web page load time, that is about a few hundred milliseconds. This graph shows the timeline of the Drupal application when we sent 32 requests. The blue dashed line on the top demonstrates the CPU usage, and the green line demonstrates the requests we sent in each 1 second interval. The bottom figure just shows the request processing time for the user request. So we will compare this with this figure later. Next, we try to understand how the attacks can cause the performance degradation. So we implemented two classes of the attacks for both applications. and we present the results here. And as we can show here, with only 8 requests, the attacker was able to cause the server to spend almost 90% of its CPU. And if Rampart is deployed, then the results are much different. So in particular, we also measured the average request processing time for the attackers. And we configured 2 different values to detect the CPU exhaustion. One is 50% and the other one is 75%. And the results are shown here. So compared with the baseline performance, we can see that with the protection with Rampart, both applications have the CPU dropped back to the normal range. And we generally find that with a lower CPU threshold, the performance is even better because the system can detect the attacks at a much earlier stage. And this figure also shows the performance degradation caused by the attacks, where we can see at the top, the CPU utilization denoted by the blue line is almost 100%. And the bottom figure just shows the request processing time for the attacker request. On average, each request needs to be processed by the server for up to 48 seconds. But if Rampart is deployed, the results are much different, where we can see on the top, the CPU utilization is back to the normal results. And the middle shows the user requests. We can see we do have some false positive as denoted by the dashed magenta lines. So around the 30 seconds of the experiment, some user requests were mistakenly blocked. And we also deployed a false positive filter to drop even more user requests as denoted by the orange lines. However, our system can intelligently detect such false positive by using the exploratory algorithm. So basically, at this time, we explored one user request and we found it was indeed a false positive. So we removed this filter so that no user request was be blocked further. However, compared to the attacker request as shown here, so about 200 milliseconds immediately after start of the attack, we were able to block all the 8 attack requests. And also the filters keep dropping the attacker requests. We also tried the exploration, but we found all of them are the true positive requests. So we can effectively block them. So the results show that the system can effectively mitigate such attack requests while being able to intelligently discover the false positives. To summarize, I have presented a system Rampart that we designed to protect web applications from the CPU exhaustion attacks. It performs context-sensitive function-level program profiling to precisely model the CPU usage of the application. It also detects and mitigates the attacks using statistical methods. Further, the system adaptively controls the lifetime of the filters rules we use to block future attack requests. And with our evaluation, we show that the system can effectively and efficiently protect web applications from CPU exhaustion DOS attacks with low false positive rate and low overhead. So this concludes my talk. Thank you, and I'm happy to take questions.